Take your Bible tonight, and I want you to turn to 1 Samuel, chapter number 16. 1 Samuel, chapter 16. Earlier today, I announced the sermon title for tonight. It's called, What Not to Do When You're Sad. What Not to Do When You're Sad. 1 Samuel, chapter 17. We're going to look at two verses, and then I'm going to introduce the sermon. 1 Samuel, chapter 16. Stand with me, if you would, please. I'm going to read to you verse number 16, and then we're going to read verse number 23. Here we go, 1 Samuel 16, verse number 16. The Bible says this, Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. Now look at verse number 23. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp, and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed, and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. And let's pray. Father, bless us, meet with us. Spirit of God, it is so important that we understand how to handle our emotions. That way, you can have preeminence in our life. Oh, God, tonight, help us that we would learn something simple that would help our attitudes, help our spirits, help us to see life and have the right attitude internally as well as externally toward life and the hardships or even the good times in life, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. I'll tell you this very, very quickly. Mom and Dad had come to me and said, Pastor, our son, and he was a grade school boy, I think about in fourth grade, and they said, our son is, we don't know what to do. He just seems to be downhearted and depressed. And I told the parents, I said, well, I would be glad to counsel with him. Now, when I counsel with children like that, I have Mom and Dad present, and I just let them sit in a chair, and I talk to the boy. Now, and I want you to know also, in Christianity, it is very rare that I find children that are depressed. Very, very rare. You might find it more so out in the world, but it's just odd when that happens. I'm not saying that's an odd person. I'm just saying it's not a frequent occurrence. But I met with the boy. And we talked, and I talked to him. I tried to talk to him about that downheartedness that he was facing, and I tried to do it at a level where he could understand it. And I'm going to talk to you for a little while tonight, and I'm going to kind of tell you the same thing that I told him. I think it helped him. After I got done, I took my notes and I set them aside, and I said, you know, someday I am just going to teach or I'm going to preach that somewhere when the timing is right. Now, let me take you back to the scripture, if I could. And here's the story, what we just read from 1 Samuel chapter 16. At this time in history, Saul was the king. And things were not going real well for Saul, at least in his opinion they were not. And his spirit was down. His attitude was sad. His heart was sad. When I was talking to this young man, I said his heart was sad, and you could tell, because his face was sad too. We all know what a sad face looks like. And I said, someone had said, you know, you need to get somebody to help you with your sadness. Boy, was that good advice. Get help with your sadness. And somebody said, there's this guy by the name of David. And David is able to help sad people. And you say, why? Why was David able to help sad people? Because David was a glad people. And one of the best people to help a sad people is a glad people. And he and I, we chuckled a little bit. I said that David played a harp. And if you don't know what a harp is, it's almost like a guitar. He played, and he had a way of helping people with his attitude and with his music. David then came and helped King Saul to change, and actually he helped him to go from being sad Saul to becoming a glad Saul. And he got help with that sadness. I told the little fella, I said, listen, there's all sorts of things that can make us sad. I said, for instance, if someone's dog dies, you could get sad from that. I was thinking, and I told him the story about Mrs. Owens and I. I think the very first dog that we had together was a collie that we had named Bananas. And Bananas was full of sugar. I mean, she was full of energy. And Bananas one day shot out of our house and decided to cross the street without looking both ways. And boys and girls, you always look both ways before you cross the street. Then you look again. You say, why? There could be a woman driver out there. Thank you, men. Thank you. Oh, but old Bananas, she shot out of our house, lickety-split, and tried to run across the street. She didn't look both ways. A car came and hit Bananas. And Bananas went to fruit heaven that day. She and Bananas died. And I told this little boy, I said, oh, was our heart broken. Mrs. Owens cried and cried. She was so upset about Bananas getting squished. And I don't have much of a heart when it comes to things like this. But I told the little boy about that. Then I said, you know, and if your pet were to die, that would make you sad. And then sometimes when you do wrong, that could make you sad. When we do wrong, we get punished. And I've never been happy about being punished. And you can get sad about it. God didn't intend for you to stay sad about it, but you could get sad about that. And then I said, you know, when things are not going well at home. Now, see, I had no idea what the boy might be facing. You know, mom and dad were if mom and dad were bickering or fighting and not getting along, and they bring their son and want to know why their son's depressed, it may be because mom and dad have a depressing atmosphere at home. But I just told him, I said, sometimes boys and girls get sad because maybe things are not going well at home, and that can cause sadness. I said, sometimes boys and girls get sad because maybe their mom's sad. Or maybe their dad's sad, or maybe grandma or grandpa are sad. But there are a lot of different reasons why people get sad. I said, now you remember this story in the Bible. Saul was sad, and God wanted to help Saul. And God sent David, and David was able to help Saul. Now, one of the techniques David used to help Saul was, first of all, David played some music. It was the right kind of music. But not only that, David had a great spirit. And folks, you and I as adults, I would say the average person in here that needs uplifted, that has enough sense to go to the Bible to get some uplifting, they find themselves in the book of Psalms. And there's David's influence over the spirit of people. And I believe David had a very unique spirit. Now, I'm going to use the word, and I use when I spoke to this young man, I told him, I said, your mom and dad said that you feel sad. And I asked him, I said, do you feel sad? And he said, I do. He said, I feel sad. I said, now, adults use this word. It's not in the Bible, but adults would use the word depressed. But it's sadness, and the Bible does use that word sad, I believe, in the Bible. I said, now, so you all know, the word depression, it comes from a Latin word. Now, I didn't tell the 8-year-old boy this, but now I'm telling you, okay? The word depression comes from a Latin word. It is a Latin word which means pressed down. Depression, that Latin word means pushed down. So someone is pressed down, they're pushed down, or it means turned down. They went from being up, almost like you grab the knob of maybe the radio, the volume, and you were up, and when you are depressed, your volume gets turned down. So it's pressed down. It's minimized. Now, with that in mind, I told the boy, I said, I'm going to tell you some things that you should not do when you're feeling sad. Because if you're feeling sad and you do certain things, you're going to become more sad. Or I probably said sadder. You say, that's bad grammar. I know, but all kids understand bad grammar. That's where we all start. And if you're good at it, you can end up there too. But I said, look, if you're sad, there's some things you don't want to do because it will make you more sad. Now, I'm going to give you a little illustration. And I had told him about this. Let's do, I have a light here. It's a battery-operated lantern. And now I want you all to sit still. I want you to pay close attention. But I'm gonna turn some of the lights out. Brother Uriah, if you'll get these. Brother Nofsinger, if you'll turn just one set off back there. Now, let me show you something. Here is my light. My light is shining right now at full force. Depression is when I end up turning my light down. I've minimized my light. Let me point something out to you, by the way. Jesus is a light of the world. Now, the devil, he wants to minimize our light. Jesus wants our light to shine, and shine brightly. Hide it under a bushel? Oh, no. No. Let Satan blow it out? Oh, no. God wants our light to stay bright. God wants our attitude to stay bright. God wants our spirit to stay bright. But when we are depressed, that Latin word, it means pushed down. It may mean that we were pressed down, or it means we are turned down, and we have minimized something that it's down when it ought to be up. So let me say this: if you have struggled with your spirit some, and so you say, I'm not, my light's not full force. It's not as bright as what it ought to be. So I turn it down just a little bit. Now, let me tell you something. The things that people try to do to deal with their depression, most of the things make it worse. It makes it worse. So be careful not to turn your light down even lower. Press yourself down even more. Turn yourself down even more by doing the wrong thing. Now, folks, let's turn the lights back on. And I'll leave this thing set up here, but let me show you something. For instance, people are sad. And I told this young man, he came from a kind of a rough family, and I just told him, I said, young man, let me tell you something. Let your preacher tell you something. If you find yourself sad, turning to beer will not make it better. Folks, do you all understand that beer is a suppressant? It will depress. Beer turns it down even more. You won't fix it that way. You might get a temporary tingle, but you won't get long-term success out of that. I will promise you. You're just putting a Band-Aid on a problem. And it will make it worse long-term. So I told the boy, I said, don't turn to liquor. You say, I'm down. I'm downhearted. I'm depressed. I'm sad. Liquor won't fix your problem. Liquor makes your problem worse. It makes your problem worse. You say, well, what do I want to do? You don't turn to those type spirits. You turn to the Spirit of God. And that will turn your light up. But if you go the liquor route to try to deal with your depression or your sadness, you might have a moment reprieve. But thereafter, you've wasted your money on the liquor. Thereafter, you don't go to work. You wake up sick. You have a headache. You say things you wish you wouldn't have said. You go places you wish you wouldn't have gone. You do things you wish you wouldn't have done. You end up getting picked up, driving your car. Now your insurance are going to go, rates are going to go off the wall because you got arrested for drinking and driving, or you go into a rage. Let me tell you something, folks. I've been helping people for a long time, and a lot of people say, I'm down, I'm downhearted, I'm depressed. You call it what you want to call it, then they reach out and they go to liquor, which makes it worse. The devil's slick, though. He wants to convince us of those sort of things. I told the boy this. I said, don't go to drugs. Now we're talking about you don't need to go smoke marijuana, and you don't need to go buy some amphetamines, or you don't need to go get cocaine and either smoke it or toot it or whatever you want to do with it. That will not solve your problem. It will not solve your problem. But the world gets this idea that I'm depressed, I'll go get high. Well, let me tell you something. You won't stay high, and eventually it'll catch up to you, and what you'll find out, it'll make it worse. It'll make it worse. Look, if you are already down, don't turn to the wrong things, because you'll go down even lower. And you don't want to make it worse. I would say this. Everybody, from time to time, can struggle with their spirit some. And part of that is because we are in a spiritual warfare. We are in a battle. There is a devil that knows that you've been commanded to have the joy of the Lord. So what's he going to do? He's going to try to press that down. He is going to try to push it down. He's going to try to turn it down. He is going to try to limit your joy light. So everybody's going to struggle with it some, but you don't have to stay there. But what you better be careful of is if you are struggling with it some, that you don't make it worse. Why? By turning to liquor and making it worse, turning yourself down even more, or turning to drugs and turning it down even more. Now, let me warn you, another thing, if you're not careful, you'll get depressed, and then you'll find yourself, did you know that anger won't help you? I know people that their spirit gets down, and then they become angry, and rage won't fix it. You know what it'll do? Make it worse. You'll go from struggling with your spirit some to struggling with your spirit a lot. Now, at the times when I've lost my temper because I was down a little bit, can I tell you, on the other end of it, I'm in worse shape. Now, I said something to someone that I shouldn't have said. I did something I shouldn't have done. I behaved in a way that I embarrassed myself. And now I'm adding insult to injury. Why? Because anger will not fix your spirit's problem. You're not going to fix your sadness with beer. You're not going to fix your sadness with marijuana. You're not going to fix your sadness with anger. Hey, you're not going to fix your sadness with bad music. With bad music. Now, folks, you all need to understand something. When you're depressed and then you turn to the world's music hoping that'll help you to feel better, I've got news for you. You're going to make it worse. You are going to make it worse. You know, God's music is the music that uplifts righteousness. God's music uplifts morality. God's music is victory music. God's music is moral music. God's music is pure music. God's music is joy music. Hey, look, you say, I'm down. It's tough. I'm going to go listen to music that talks about it. Okay. You're having a tough time in your marriage, but you're listening to country music that's all about sleeping with somebody else's wife, and you want to know why you're depressed. Well, you listen to that junk when you ought to be listening to music that will uplift you, and you're listening to music that will downcast you. You're having a tough time with your depression, so you go listen to your rock music, and you think that's going to fix it? I've got news for you. You're going to make it worse. While they talk about their sex, and while they talk about their drugs, and while they talk about their drinking, and they talk about their violence, and you think that's going to encourage you? Oh, no. David brought good music to depress Saul, not bad music to depress Saul. And when you're down some, don't make it worse by getting drunk. Don't make it worse by getting high. Don't make it worse by getting angry. Don't make it worse by turning to the world's entertainment and the world's music. You will make it worse. I'll throw in with music just the world's entertainment. Let me recommend something to you. If you're not careful and you're down and you flip the television on and you're watching shows about murder and rape and violence, you do realize you're not helping yourself, right? You do realize you are making you worse. Look, if you're down, you say, I want to watch something that will encourage me. Then watch Andy Griffith. Watch Gomer Pyle. Watch Lucille Ball. Watch the Democrats and Republicans fight on television. We can all laugh at that. But folks, listen, everybody gets down some. Where some make a mistake, when they get down some, they turn to the wrong answers. Then those wrong answers, they're not only down some, now they're turning themselves down even more. And so they turn to the booze, and it gets worse. And they turn to the drugs, and it gets worse. And they turn to the anger, and it gets worse. And they turn to the bad music, and it gets worse. And they turn to the wrong entertainment, and it gets worse. Now, let me tell you something else. Now, you all understand, I was talking to the fourth or fifth grade boy. I was telling him, I said, now, don't make these mistakes. Don't let these things get to you. And I touched on each of these very, very carefully. Now, I told him this. I said, don't start quitting good things when you're down. Somehow we get this idea, I'll quit it and I'll feel better. Listen, you don't quit good things when your spirit is down. Making decisions like that, you are going to make yourself worse. Don't quit. Hey, don't quit your church duties because you had a depressed week. You say, why? Because on the other end of it, you're going to look at that and you quit, and now you don't have that duty and you're going to feel bad about quitting. You're going to wish you wouldn't have quit. Hey, don't quit on your marriage when you're depressed. Don't quit. Hey, I've watched people, they get down, so they go quit their job. Now, what are you doing? You think you're going to feel better? You'll feel better when you walk in and put the resignation on the table and say, I quit. You'll say, oh, it felt good. You're going to hit your car, look at the gas gauge and say, you know what? I shouldn't have quit. I don't even have enough gas to get home. But people start quitting things when they're depressed. Folks, when your spirit is broken, don't start bailing out on everything. It's a big, big mistake. You better delay your quit tendency when you're depressed, because you're not thinking right. You're not as bright as what you ought to be. Make decisions when you're bright. But boy, when you're turned down and you start making decisions, they will darken your life. So beer won't help, and drugs won't help, and anger won't help, and bad music and bad entertainment won't help. Quitting things won't help. Blaming God won't help. Blaming God won't help. Listen, God is a great God, and God is a good God. And lest you misunderstand what we read from 1 Samuel 16, verse 16 and 23, it talks about an evil spirit from the Lord. What that's teaching is nothing comes upon you and I as Christians without God saying, okay, I'll let it happen. And for some reason, God let an evil spirit challenge Saul. And that's what had happened. You all remember the story of Job. The devil came to God and said, God, I'd like permission to torment Job. And God said, okay. And in God's purpose, he allowed that to happen. Now, let me say to everybody in here, if that time comes upon you and God said, devil, I'll let you challenge them. I'll let you challenge their attitude. I'll let you challenge their spirit. That may happen, but you need to understand something. First of all, God would never bring more upon you than what he will give you the strength to successfully have victory over. So whatever you face, God will give you the strength to have victory over it. And you know, we might get challenged by the devil, but that's not God trying to destroy us. It may be God trying to strengthen us. It may be God helping us to realize that we have a strength available to us in Christ Jesus that is a victorious thing. But I'll just tell you this, don't blame God. I've watched people that head towards some depression, and then instead of glorifying God, they blame God. And what could have been a one afternoon, difficult afternoon in spirit, maybe some depression in an afternoon, it turns into a day that turns into 2 days, that turns into 3 days, and before long, they're blaming God. I've watched some of God's most powerful servants allow themselves to start blaming God for their attitude, and before long, they're out of church altogether. They're mad at God. They're mad at church. And God's not a good God anymore. And God doesn't care about them anymore. And God doesn't love them anymore. You say, Pastor, I would never feel that way. You go ahead and entertain your depression. You go ahead and blame God for it. And I'll promise you, sooner or later, the devil will get deep enough in your heart and in your mind. You'll be blaming God for your own misbehavior. Let me explain something. God is good all the time. All the time. So I told this boy, I said, whatever you do, if you struggle with sadness, don't turn to beer. Don't turn to drugs. Don't get angry. Don't start listening to bad music. Don't watch and be entertained by negative and bad things. Don't quit things on God. Don't blame God. Hey, and then I warned him. I said, you need to be very careful spending a bunch of time around other sad people. Folks, one sad person plus another sad person does not make two glad people. Right? So, I tell you what, husbands and wives, do each other a favor. Somebody needs to stay up if your mate is down. That way you can help each other. The Bible says, let's help each other up. But you get a depressed husband and a depressed wife, and that team will self-destruct. They will just give up on everybody and everything if they're not careful. But listen, I told the boy, I said, if you have friends and they're sad all the time, I think I would limit my time with them, because a sad person is not going to help you to become a glad person. And I told him, I said, you notice that King Saul did not look for somebody else in his court that was sad. King Saul didn't say, well, go get me a couple sad people and bring them in here. No, they said, let's go find David. David has an excellent spirit. David was like Daniel, one of an excellent spirit. You go get him, you get his harp, you bring him in here, and the presence of David will uplift the king. And so, folks, I tell you, there's some of you, when you get sad, you go to Facebook, and you go tap into your sad friend. And you whine together, and you moan together, and you complain together, and you say, oh, we're so good for each other, phooey. No, I'll tell you something. I'm not a depressed person. I'm pretty upbeat, and I stay that way. I've been through some major battles and some terrible things. I've always been able to keep my spirit relatively strong. But I struggle. But I will promise you this: if I'm struggling with my spirit, I start guarding my spirit. There are certain kinds of things I cannot afford to be around. There are even times when there are certain kinds of people I can't afford to be around. As I travel, I go places and I preach. And a lot of times I'll get out there and there are pastors having a tough time. And I understand it. And I go and I encourage them. And I would say 999 times out of 1,000, if they're down, I'm up. And I go there to encourage them and help them. And I want to go lift their spirit. But maybe one time out of 1,000... I go and I'm down. The devil has just worked me over. So I tell you what I do. I am very careful not to put my sad spirit, spending a bunch of time with somebody else with a sad spirit. You say, why? We will both be sitting around licking our wounds, whining and griping and complaining. We will depress each other further. So folks, let me tell you something. If you struggle with your spirit a lot, you better make sure that your best friend doesn't struggle with their spirit all the time. You better guard your spirit, because you'll make it worse. You will turn yourself down even further by being around someone that has themselves turned down. What else? I told him, I said, don't stop coming to church. Don't stop coming to church. The devil is so good at this. You know what church is? We send the light. The blessed gospel light. We're a lighthouse. That's what the church is. And so you struggle with your attitude. You struggle with your spirit. So you decide you're going to stay home from church. Now, you understand that if you come to church, we can help you. Our whole goal is to turn you up, not to turn you down. Our whole goal is to lift you up, not to push you down. But I could not tell you, in all these years that I have been helping people get depressed and they'll stay home. And I'm thinking, what are you thinking? The one place in the world you ought to go is to church. And you say, I was too depressed to go to church. Well, you weren't too depressed to go to Walmart. And you weren't too depressed to go down to get your fingernails done. And you weren't too depressed to go down to Food Lion. And you weren't too depressed to go to McDonald's. Why, out of all places, did you say, I don't think I'll go to church? That's of the devil. The devil influenced you to think that way. I'm depressed, so I'll stay away from God. I'm depressed, so I'll stay away from the preacher. I'm depressed, so I'll stay away from the preaching. I'm depressed, so I'll stay away from the choir. I'm depressed, so I'll stay away from holiness. I'm depressed, so I'll just stay home and lick my wounds and feel sorry for myself, and I won't go to church. That's crazy. But y'all understand the feeling? Hey, it gets there. Hey, I'm almost finished. Beer won't fix it. Drugs won't fix it. Anger won't fix it. Bad music, bad entertainment, quitting things, blaming God, other sad people, stopping your attendance to church. I told him this. I said, if something made you sad, don't spend all your time thinking about what made you sad. I used the dog illustration. I said, if I would have been thinking about bananas every day, all day long, after bananas got hit by that car, I've been depressed every day, all day long. Now, I miss bananas. We love bananas. And bananas in doggy heaven. But we couldn't afford to think about bananas all day long, every day. Why? Because that tended to make me sad. Now, folks, let me tell you all something. You get something that comes into your life, whether it was you or something that you didn't cause or something that you did cause, you name it, and it makes you sad. It squelches your spirit. So this is what you do. You think about it, and 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 you relive it, and you relive it, and you relive it. So you know what you do? You stay down. And then you drive yourself down further, and then further, and then further. Yeah, that job that I lost 20 years ago. There's some of you that can get yourself depressed just like that about something that happened 20 years ago because you won't let it go. You keep bringing it up, and you can get depressed today about what happened 15 years ago. And you know something? We ought to be more spiritual than that. So what you don't do is you don't dwell on that thing which makes you sad. You say, Pastor, I committed a sin. I committed a sin and a bad sin. And Pastor, it just depresses me. I spoke to a woman, and she said this one day. She said, Pastor, I am just so depressed. She said, I've been depressed for years. I said, do you know when it started? She said, I do. I said, when did it start? She said, it started when I got an abortion. I said, have you asked God to forgive you that? She said, I have. She said, well, I'm depressed every day about it. I said, ma'am, that sin is behind you. There's nothing you can do about it. All of us would agree that was not a good idea and you didn't do the right thing, but it's past. And what you're doing is you're letting the devil steal your today victory with a past sin. I said, you need to put that behind you. You learned a lesson from it. You asked God to forgive you. Now, stop being depressed today about a sin that has passed. You know, there are some of you, you have sinned, you've done something wrong in your life. And you know what? You asked God to forgive you, but you've not forgiven yourself. Or you asked God to forgive you, but you keep bringing it up and bringing it up and bringing it up. If you do that, you're going to stay depressed. Look, if you don't want to stay down, do the things that will help you to get up. I'll give you one more and we'll be done. I told him this. I said, if you're sad, make sure that you don't want to stay sad. Make sure you don't want to stay sad. There's some people almost self-entertained with it. If I stay sad, people feel sorry for me. I feel cheated in life, and therefore I'll just live this morbid attitude. And you can look at my face and see how bad life has been for me. And I hope people ask, how you doing? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Do you think acting like that glorifies God? It doesn't at all. If you're down, you ought not want to stay there. If you're down, you ought to want to be up. If your spirit is squelched, you ought to want to figure out how to get some fire back in that thing. But there are actually people who they'll get down, they'll get depressed, and they'll allow themselves to stay there. They're going to stay there. And I can't tell you all the reasons why. But folks, listen, as Christians, you ought not want to live in a dark hole. Amen. Climb out. Yes, you say, I don't think I can. You won't by yourself, but you will with Jesus' help. You ought to want to get out. You say, well, I'm punishing myself. Really, that's not up to you. Where in the Bible does it say, go punish thyself? If God forgives you, God forgave you because He wants to use you. And if you spend all your time with this morbid attitude about everything and everybody and how bad everything is, how's God ever going to use you? God forgives us because He wants to use us. You say, but I'm a sinner. That's all He has to use. We're all sinners. Look, if all sinners are not going to be used of God, then God has nobody to use. And I'm not saying that we're supposed to joke about our past sin and our failures, but I am saying get victory, get up, get going, go do something for God. Everybody faces, I called it sadness for this boy. You can call it depression, you call it what you want. But it's when we are not at our best in attitude We're not as bright as what we ought to be. So if you turned yourself down, or something turns you down, don't make it worse. Because if you do, you're cheating yourself, you're cheating others, you're cheating God. Parents, let your children see you have victory. Husbands, let your wives see you have victory. Wives, let your husband see victory in your life. Leaders, let others see that victory. I hate the fact the devil comes after our spirits, but he does. He does. But know this, the Spirit of God is more powerful than the devil. And you have the Spirit of God living within you. Let him turn you up full blast in life. Remember, that thing of depression, it's when we are pressed down, pushed down, or turned down. Now, if life turns you down a little, I understand that. But here's what some of us do. We grab the knob and say, watch this. How'd you do it? Well, you turned it down with beer, you turned it down with rock and roll, you turned it down with drugs or with anger, you turned it down with bitterness or bad music, or you blaming God or quitting church. Hey, many of you grabbed a hold of the knob and turned it down when you should have turned it up. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to help you with your spirit, your attitude. Look, don't make it worse. Make it better. Don't turn to the wrong solutions. Turn to the right solutions. Don't turn to the wrong kind of people. Turn to the right kind of people. Don't run away from God. Run toward God. If you're a depressed person, you ought to be in church every chance you can get. Every chance. Why? That's where you turn up the light. If not, the devil will have you turning that thing down. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart. I've learned something tonight that will help me and I can apply it to my life. From young to old, could you raise your hand and say, God's helped me. I see something more clearly. I think God can help me with it. You may put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. Listen, if you're not saved tonight, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. What I have taught tonight is so available, but you need Jesus as Savior. You talk about turning your light on full blast. You accept Jesus as your Savior, and a lot of the things that would depress you as a lost person will stop depressing you because you'll have heaven in your future. But we're going to have an altar call. In a moment, I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. After she begins to play, we'll stand. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Maybe you struggle with your spirit, and you ought to come and say, God, help me. I need victory. I want to make sure I don't turn to the wrong things. Some of you do. You turn to the wrong things. You need to turn to the right things, not the wrong things, so that you turn your light up, not down. I'll ask the pianist to play at this moment. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need the altar? Teenager, do you need the altar? What do you turn to when you're having a struggle in your spirit? Husband, wife, what do you turn to? Mom, dad, Christian, what do you turn to? We have the strength, with God's help, to increase ourselves. We do not have to decrease our spirit. We can get better. And you say, I don't think I can fix everything that's wrong with my spirit. Okay, then fix everything you can. But don't turn to the world's solution. The world will make it worse. The devil will make it worse. You make it better. With God's help, you can make it better. Someone said to Saul, you need to get somebody that'll lift your spirit. Next thing you know, they have David. David was of an excellent spirit. David had right music. David had a right attitude. David was the one that fought Goliath and had victory. David was an attitude of victory for the most part in his life. Get to victory-minded people. Get to positive people. Get to upbeat people. Somehow we want to go lick our wounds with someone so we can all whine together. And I love you. I'm not trying to mock you or make fun of you. But you make a mistake when you turn to people that have that negativeness about them, that have that squelched spirit about themselves. You're not getting help. Let God help you. One more time through the song, if you will, Sarah. If you're not saved, I recommend Jesus as Savior. That'll take care of some depression right there. You say, why? Well, you're on your way to hell. Getting yourself on the way to heaven sure will help. That'll change your life. That'll change your attitude. This is the last time through the song.